Welcome to Worship at the Water, where the worship is fresh. It's so fresh, we put it in a Ziploc bag, all right? So glad that you're here this morning. And Mike, these heaters are the real deal. Man, this is great. You'll know when I'm done preaching when the little red thing pops out, you know, this turkey of a preacher. So if you start getting bored, just wait for the little thermometer thing to pop out, okay? Then you'll know. Oh, man, we're getting really close. He's almost done. Hey, it's been good to be away. Thank you for allowing me some moments just to go and be with family over the holidays. I am so blessed with Josh Langford. And when I heard him preach at the main campus, I was like, he's got to do this venue because you don't want to miss out on him. I hope that you will continue to pray for him, that you will just kind of put him in your prayer list. God's got great things in store for that young man. And I just am so glad that we are developing young people at Woodlawn. I love seeing Cade up here, and that there's a place in worship, not for him one day, but that he can lead and help us today. And so help us pray for these young people. You know, we live in a dark and ugly world that wants to grab them and wants to drag them away, but God's got plans for these folks, and we want to be part of that. And so thank you for allowing him to come. Thank you for loving him. Thank you for praying for Josh in the days and weeks and months and years to come. I did have a good time. It was good to be away. You know, it's amazing to me the kind of effort that you have to put into going on vacation. You ever notice that? Before you leave, you have to work doubly hard in order to be able to escape for a while. And then when you come back, you're like, oh my gosh, the desk is piled up. There's a huge amount of things in the inbox to be processed. There's emails to answer, phone calls to respond to. There's things that have gone undone. And you're like, why do I even take a vacation? Are you ever like that? I know I am from time to time. It's like, wow, I really need a vacation, but I can't afford to be that exhausted when I come back into the job. I'm not really a NASCAR fan. Anybody here, are you into NASCAR? Turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. You know, NASCAR hasn't caught my attention. Although after the way my Bengals played yesterday, I may become a NASCAR fan, actually. It seems like they actually know what they're doing, and the Bengals yesterday really didn't. So, but NASCAR, it's amazing to me that if you watch a race, everything is focused on winning the race. Now, it's not a sprint. It's not a drag race. They get into the car, and they're going to be there a while, okay? I think NASCAR would be a lot more interesting if they gave those guys like a cup of coffee and a cell phone to deal with. There would be a lot more entertainment value for me. Maybe not those of you that are sold on NASCAR. I understand that. But it's amazing. As they are trying to win the race, what do they do every so often? They do the pit stop, don't they? They've got to pull in, and they've got to refuel. They've got to change tires. They've got to clear the windshield. There's just points within that race where if they are going to do their best effort to cross the finish line and to see the checkered flag, it is checkered, right? To see the checkered flag, they have got to take moments when it seems like they're being counterproductive to the end goal. I mean, in the middle of a race, you want me to stop and refuel and change and get some clarity on the windshield so that I can go on? Well, the cool thing is, it does work. Every NASCAR champion, every Cup champion has always made the pit stops that were necessary to get them to the finish line, to get them to where they win the Cup. There's not been a NASCAR champion that has failed and just decided, you know what, that whole pit stop, it's a waste of time. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. We would do well to follow that pattern in our own lives. As much trouble as it is to go on vacation, as exhausting as it is to come back off a vacation, let's just refer to it as a pit stop. And actually, God says we do better not if we just take one or two pit stops a year. He says we do much better in life if we will follow the pit stop model weekly. It's called Sabbath. And that's what I want to talk to you today. Sunday was meant to be the best day of our week. Sabbath was meant to be that time when we stopped, we got rested, we refueled, we allowed some changes to take place, you know, the tires to be changed and allowed some things to happen in our life where we get some clarity, where we wash off the windshield from a week of being splattered and smattered by the world, where we can see clearly. That was what God's plan was for Sabbath. During Jesus' day, all the Jews had taken this thing that God had created for man, and they made man all about the Sabbath. They created all kinds of rules, and they set up all these regulations about what you could or couldn't do on the Sabbath. So one day, Jesus was with his disciples, and they were all debating about which things applied to them and which things didn't. And Jesus kind of stops them right there, and he clarifies God's purpose for the Sabbath when he says to them in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Let's understand, let's be clear, Jesus was saying, God created the Sabbath for you to rest. He did not create the Sabbath for you to be all bound up in rules and regulations. Of all the days of the week, God knew that we would need one day where we just took some time to rest and refuel and reprioritize and recalculate our life. That one day is called Sabbath. And if you study the history of Christianity, you see that wherever people have taken a day of rest for God, their lives have been better. They've been impacted. They feel better about themselves. They enjoy their families more. They experience more of the blessings of God. The problem is, today we live in a 24/7 culture, don't we? Where we have to be going nonstop, or at least we believe that. We've bought into that lie. Where we feel like we never have enough time. How many of you have been guilty of saying this? I've got to run to the store, and then I got to run to the bank, and then I got to run over here, and then I've got to... We run, don't we? Anybody ever do that? It's run, 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 run. It's nonstop. And with that goes, I'm going to be late. So we worry and we live with deadlines and we live under pressure. And life was not meant to be lived at 1,000 miles an hour, around and around and around, without a stop. Can I get you to do me a favor? Would you just take a deep breath and then let it out? You know what a deep breath is? It's a pause. And that's what God wants each and every one of us to take. Several times a day, He wants us to just take a deep breath and to pause. But once a week, He wants us to do that spiritually, where we just breathe in and then we just exhale all the stress, all the worry, all the pressure. Do that again. Didn't it feel good taking that deep breath and just letting it all go? Makes me want to break out into the song from a Disney movie. What was it? Let it go. Let it go. Yeah, I hear that about 17 times a day. You know what you were doing when you took that deep breath? You were letting off steam. You were letting go of some of that pressure. Some of you, that's the first time you've taken a deep breath in months. You've been so worried and so worked up that you've not taken time to just breathe in the Spirit of God and just exhale all the junk. Didn't it feel good? Didn't it feel good? Listen, I want you to relax today. Not to the point where you fall asleep, but just to the point where there's no stress, no pressure in this place. It's just a place of release where we experience Sabbath together. Do you remember about a billion years ago in America where nobody worked on Sundays? The blue law where you wanted to go out to eat after church? Sorry, there wasn't nothing open. We had family dinners and we sat around the table and we enjoyed one another. And we just took time off because there was nothing you could do, nowhere where you could go. And it was just a day to simply be. There was no travel ball. There was no excess activities. It was just a day to be with family. in the past in America, generations of Americans got less done on Sundays, but they got more done on Mondays than we do currently. After a day of rest, people were ready to attack the week. You know, athletes have found that they perform better by working hard and then taking a day to rest. It's the way our muscles were designed. They need stress and release. And our souls are the same way. Stress and work and rest and release. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was about to enter the Promised Land, and for 40 years they've wandered about in the desert without houses or jobs or responsibilities. As they got ready to enter the Promised Land, where they would once again have homes and lead working lives and have jobs, God visited their leader Joshua, and here's what he says to him about his priorities. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." God was saying, Joshua, once you and your people get settled in, you're going to be very tempted to work in order to get ahead. But if you work to get ahead, you won't get ahead. You'll actually fall behind and you'll actually fall apart. He's saying, Joshua, the secret to getting ahead is spending time in this book. And as you spend time in this book, you'll find out that the way to get ahead is by taking a respite, by observing Sabbath. We often think we can get more done if we just push on and keep pushing. It's called the law of diminishing returns. You are familiar with that, where you try to do more, but you wind up doing less. And then you feel the pressure of doing less. So we do what? We work harder to get less done, and we work more. And what we're doing is we're just in this cycle of diminishing returns where we're not quite able to meet the standard that we were once able to do because we're exhausted. And God says, listen, to be really productive requires rest. It takes time to refuel. It takes time to just take a knee. I love, Mike, you say that often, just take a knee. There comes a point where we just need to take a knee. And what that is, it's what God invented and called Sabbath. The way to make your Mondays better is to start with a wonderful Sunday, as we observe it in our culture. In the Bible, God prescribes 52 Sabbaths of a year as part of our health maintenance plan. God constructed us that we run best on this rhythm of engagement and withdrawal, stress and release, work and rest. It's really sewn into the fabric of the universe. Day, night. Summers where there's high productivity even amongst the plants and vegetation, and then winter where the ground lays fallow and it repairs itself while it rests. God made Sundays as a day of release for us, a time to refuel. Go ahead, take another day, take another moment just to take a deep breath and let it out. There's no pressure today. We have no agenda other than to be in God's presence and to receive from Him and to let the worries and the cares of the world go away. Taylor Swift, shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Okay. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 58 verse 13, God says this, "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Is this my idea? Is this an American cultural thing? No, this is the mouth of the Lord saying, you need to observe Sabbath. If you call the Sabbath a delight, it goes on to say, I will cause you to ride in triumph. Anybody need some triumph in your life? Maybe the secret to that is spending some time on a Sabbath day of rest. You know what all of that means to me? Is that Sunday, our Sabbath, needs to be the best day of our week. Well, what would it look like if Sunday became the highlight of our week and not just the days of work or the time that we have to ourselves on Saturday? I want to give you two steps to make Sundays great. The first one is this: honor God's rhythm for your life. Out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, and Deuteronomy 5, 12, God sets up this whole plan for Sabbath, and we need to honor it. Now, you keep hearing me use Sabbath and Sunday as interchangeable things. Let me just help you understand something, all right? Those scholars out there that are like, the Sabbath is not Sunday, the Sabbath is not Sunday. All right, the Jewish people celebrated Sabbath on a Saturday. It's the seventh day of the week to remind them that on the seventh day, God rested from his labor in creation. Now, why did God rest? Was it that God got to the end of creating and went, whew, man, I'm exhausted? No, he knew that we would be exhausted. And so he said, let's just set it up in the pattern of a week where 6 days are given for work and one day is left to just rest, recuperate, and reflect on all that's been done. Because of Jesus now and his resurrection, Christians have adopted Sunday, the first day of the week, as the time of our Sabbath. But the principle is the same. Take a day to rest and make Sabbath a delight. Make it the highlight of your week. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses gave the Ten Commandments to the people that he had received from the Lord. The fourth commandment says this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Remember the Sabbath, it says. You know, remember is a verb that has us reflecting back, doesn't it? We need to reflect back on the fact that God did what? Rested. And if God put it into the fabric of the universe, maybe we would do well to remember that fact and to practice it. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, the commandment says, observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. Notice the change in the verb. We went from remember to observe. Well, for me, what I'm thinking is the first one is remember what God did, and then observe kind of speaks to what I need to do. Remember the Sabbath and that God rested, and you go and do likewise. It's a present tense exhortation. Do it. It's not left up to decide whether you want to do it or not. It's God saying, take some time to rest. Because of these two Sabbath verbs, the Jewish people built into their lives this idea of making the Sabbath the best day of the week. Now, how can we do that given the mindset that we have as Americans that you got to work, 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 and you don't take a day off because somebody else is going to get ahead of you? Well, there's this phenomena in psychology that says, act your way into a new way of thinking. All right. Basically, what they do is if there's couples that come in with marital trouble and they say, we've fallen out of love, what they'll say to this couple in this psychological thought process is, act as if you are madly in love. Act as if you're madly in love. Commit yourself to being in love. And then after a while, you will find yourself falling back into love, growing back into love. Here, it works. I don't understand it, but that's why golfers spend so much time seeing the putt go in before they even address the ball. It's this mental imaging of see it, look it, become it. Now, it works. I don't understand it, but it does. It works. In Isaiah 58:3, it says, we should call the Sabbath a delight. So what if we don't feel like the Sabbath is a delightful day? What if we have trouble taking a day off and resting? Well, I think we make a decision to call the Sabbath a delight, and we are going to give it a chance. We're going to act our way into a new mindset. Now, second point that I want to make this morning is prepare for Sunday as if it's going to be the highlight of your week. In Psalm 122, King David gets invited to go to the temple. And you know what his response is? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He rejoiced. He got stoked. This guy is excited. This is a high point of his week. He's not being drugged to the temple. Anybody have a drug problem growing up? Your mom and dad drug you to church. They drug you to Sunday school. They drug you to youth group. Yeah, we've all been there, haven't we? Drug problems. But David was excited. This guy is skipping to the church because he just wants to be there. He wants to hang out with God and his people. One of the greatest things about church that I've found, and I've heard this from you, all right? These are the stories. So if this is not true, you're lying to me, because I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, is that oftentimes you come to church and you're stressed out and your life is a mess, and you say you come here and because of the worship and because of the setting and God shows up, you leave different. You leave at peace. Is that true? That's just what I'm hearing from you. Well, here's the thing. What if we walked into this atmosphere at peace? What could happen then? Where we just had prepped so much throughout the week that we were going to have the best Sunday ever, and we were going to give ourselves to God's Sabbath. Wow. That's mind-boggling to think about. Listen, I come dragging into church just hoping for an infusion of hope or life or help or spirit or vitality or something. What if we came in with that vitality and we gave it away to each other and it accumulated? Man, can you imagine the difference that would make in our week? So how do we go about preparing for Sunday as if it's the high point of our week? Well, I think one of the things we need to do is develop a plan for Sunday. What kind of difference would it make for you if your family woke up rested on Sunday morning and everything they wanted to wear was laid out and there was no thought processes, there was nothing to left to the imagination? Can I be honest? The parsonage can sometimes be the most chaotic place on a Sunday morning. Just this morning, I got up and I was ready to go. I had my game face on. I had thought about it. I'd got my clothes on. I was ready to walk out the door. When Landon comes running up, you're not going to leave me. And he's in tears. He doesn't want to miss the Sabbath. He doesn't want to miss this place and what happens here. And because we had not set the plan up last night, it was chaotic for a few minutes trying to get some clothes thrown onto the boy. Don't smell his breath. We didn't have time to brush his teeth. All right? Just gut level, just being honest, all right? But imagine how much different things would have been had we set out his clothes last night and made the plan that, Landon, you're going to get up. I'm going to wake you up when I get up. You're going to go and you're going to shower and you're going to brush your hair and you're going to eat. Thank God for hospitality. I mean, honestly, that's keeping my boy from starving to death today. All right, because not only does he have this service, he's got to go to 3. All right, you talk about somebody that really loves church. When you beg to go, knowing you've got 3 hours of this stuff. All right, so he has come and we didn't have a plan, so it made it kind of frantic. The U.S. Marines have this saying, okay? Check me on this if you're a Marine. Not been there, not done that. Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. Does that sound right? Okay. Most Marines don't stutter. I understand that, okay? They're decisive. They know what to say. They know how to say it. But you know what? If proper prior planning prevents poor performance, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickle. I'm just glad it didn't have a bunch of S's, all right? My name is Steve, but I stumble over S's, okay? I stumble over P's too, obviously. But what if we created the plan for church? Imagine this. If it takes your family 15 minutes to get here, what if you left 25 minutes ahead of service? Boom. Wow, what a difference maker. What if when we got here, we could walk across the parking lot rather than sprinting or having to fight over the refreshment table because everybody else came at that same last hour, right? you sit down before anything starts and you're ready to worship. You got this great frame of mind. You're not stressed out. You're breathing in. You're relaxing. You're just ready to enjoy God. Here's my question. How are you going to prepare for next Sunday to make it better, to make it the best it can be? All right, I just want to give you a couple of suggestions about making Sundays the best and how to make it the highlight of your week. First, block out the next 4 Sundays where you say, come hell or high water, we're going to be in church. All right? Now, that sounds like a minor thing, but you watch as your schedule starts cluttering and as there's temptations to be other places and do other things and to have things kind of come up in the last moment or you get tired. Go ahead and just set your mind, I'm going to be at church the next 4 weeks. Not going to go anywhere else. Not going to do anything else. I'm going to go to church. Now, if you've already had plans, I give you permission not to feel bad. Okay? Understand, this just came up. Other things may have already been there. Then here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be here. Then figure out your advanced plan. Sometime this afternoon, I want you to sit down with your family and talk through the kind of preparation that will be necessary to arrive here with smiles, to arrive here rested and relaxed. You want to put your clothes out the night before? You want to set the table and have breakfast ready so that it's not chaos? Do y'all want to have a time that you set in order to get in bed so it's not, you just kind of stay up to the wee hours of the morning and then struggle to get out of bed? What time do you want to leave in order to get here? You see, Sunday was meant to be the best day of our week. And if it's going to be that, we've got to plan and prepare for it because it doesn't happen accidentally. Well, I hope that if you're here today and you're weary and you're burdened and you're heavy laden, you will remember that Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden and I will give you rest. It's because it's part of his plan. Work hard. Work as unto the Lord. But take time to Sabbath. Take time to rest. Take time to breathe him in and breathe out the worries and cares of your work. If NASCAR knows, you go hard and then you break. You make those laps and then you pit stop. Maybe we should take a cue from them because it was God's idea in the beginning. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray for those who are weary and heavy laden today. I pray for those that are struggling. I pray for those that need rest. And I ask that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will come and you will whisper words of peace and life and rest and hope to us. Lord, I pray for those who do not know you and whose lives are chaos. I pray this might be the day where they give all that they know of themselves to all that they know of you, and that in that exchange they might find rest. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are. And part of your plan for us is to work hard, but your plan is also for us to rest. May we rest in you today in Jesus' name. Amen. When you came in today, you got this bulletin. And in that bulletin, you got a card. That card is a way by which we can connect with you, where we can get to know you and what's on your heart and what's on your mind. If you'd like to join the church or if you want to find some help in getting plugged into a small group, that's just your way of communicating with us. If you have a prayer concern, fill that out. And here's what we do here. Maybe you've noticed, we don't take up an offering here. This is real low pressure. We do church completely different. There are tackle boxes at the exit when you leave. If you want to love on God in that way, then we encourage you, do that. Because we really believe tithing is God's plan and God's way. But we don't want to manipulate you or coerce you into doing something. We want you to do it out of the love of God and the commitment that you have in your heart. So those tackle boxes are out there for tithes and offerings. But they're also out there for those cards. You know the service that puts in the least amount of prayer request cards at Woodlawn? It's this one.
Now, it may be that you're problem free, but I want you to know this. I want to pray for you. I look at every one of those requests and I pray for you by name throughout the rest of the week. So I hope that you will put yourself to doing that. If you don't have a pen, beg, borrow, or steal one, okay? It's the only time I'll tell you can steal in church is if you need a pencil to fill out that card. But God bless you. As we listen to the band and as they lead us in this last thing for worship, this last song for worship, you respond to God, and I pray that you'll use that card as the conduit to do that, all right? Let's stand together as we close out.